Welcome to Zoomer Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
And again, folks, thanks for being here on this live call. This is Kent Marsh, Zoomer's Health Education Call. And we're going to be talking about some current topic kind of stuff tonight. You know, if you're paying attention at all to any form of media, whether that's television or radio or the internet or wherever you get your what's going on in the world feeds from, it's pretty hard to avoid the information about this ongoing COVID pandemic that we're all living through. And obviously, there's a little bit of a COVID fatigue out there. For most of us, because it's been such a long time since we've not had to talk about this. But here's the other side of this story, and that is it's something that we have to be aware of, right? I mean, if I were to open this line right now and ask many of you listening in, hey, do you know somebody who either currently has been diagnosed with this COVID-19 positive test or who is currently hospitalized or maybe who has had it recently? Sadly, I bet everybody on this line would say, yeah, I know somebody, or maybe you would say, yeah, it was me, right? So we got to make sure that we're doing the smartest things that we can to take care of ourselves, and that's kind of the focus on this call tonight. And so I get to spend some time with a lady who is part of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board. She's been a super awesome friend to us at Zuma for such a long time, and I'm proud to call her not only a Zuma member, Zuma Scientific Advisory Board member, but also a friend, and that is, of course, Dr. Melissa Bennett. So, Dr. Bennett, are you out there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I appreciate you joining in with us tonight, Melissa.
Yes. That's the hardest part of the call, is not knowing if you're actually online.
Well, guess what? Congratulations. Mark this off on your box of things that you accomplished today. You made it.
Yes, I made it on there. Oh, my goodness. Well, did you have a good New Year? Was it like a wonderful New Year?
I did, yeah. You know, I'm thrilled to be in a new year, and I think probably like a lot of people listening in tonight, we're looking forward to that time somewhere in calendar year 2022 when we go, pandemic what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to 2022, but and I like how it sounds. It's like it rolls off your tongue. It's like 2022. It just sounds good, especially compared to like 2020 and 2021, and I just feel like 2020 and 2021 was just one long year. I don't even feel like there was a dividing moment in those 2 years. So 2022 just feels really new. It just seems like it's going to be a great year. And of course, every year is great. It's kind of what you make it. But at the same time, we've been dealing with so much stuff, and it's just been ongoing, like you were saying. But I had a great little new year. I had a little small get together at my house, and my dog Pippin has this like rubber chicken that makes this horrible like squeaking noise. And my friend Ken, another friend I have, started crowing at midnight to bring in the new year. And we weren't even drinking, but on video, it looks like we were completely wasted on the video. It was so funny. I was like, everyone looks like they're totally gone because he's like crowing like a chicken. But it was really good. So we had a good New Year. And like you said, tonight I want to talk about actually a little bit about the new variant Omicron. And I mentioned to Liggy that if you take Omicron and you mix up all the letters, it spells moronic. And I thought that was funny. I was just like, we're just dealing with this moronic virus that just keeps going on and on and on. And I have done a talk on viruses before, and I think I mentioned that they're like little hitchhikers, and they kind of come in and they infiltrate a cell, and then they replicate. So what you want to do is kind of set yourself up not to be hospitable to any virus, especially Omicron or any of the viruses that are out there. And if you are not hospitable to them or from a cellular level, they cannot stay in your system. So the main goal when you're dealing with any virus is to make sure your immune system is really functioning like 100%. So I'm going to tell you today kind of what you can do to help your body beat Omicron, but not just Omicron, but any cold or virus that comes along or anything that you're dealing with. It's all about getting ahead of it. So that's really, really important. And I've seen so many patients in my office right now that just keep going through it over and over again. And not the same people, thank goodness. They're usually different people having a diagnosis. And so I just really feel like it's really important to strengthen the immune system. So as of December, we just know that this Omicron now is circulating throughout many countries, and it's going very quickly, and it's taking over from Delta. So we had like different variants. I think this is the fourth one. And the difference between Omicron and Delta is that its doubling time is only 3 days, which means cases double every 3 days, and soon it's going to become like the dominant virus, if it hasn't done that already, the dominant variant around the world. And it just also appears to be about three times more contagious than Delta. And Delta was actually more contagious than the original variant. So if you compare each variant, they become more contagious. And this is typical of viruses, because viruses like to mutate. And when they do, they become more transmissible because they're on a mission to survive. They figure out that they have to do something to survive, so they start mutation. And you'll hear the term, you know, that it basically there's more variants coming out. But hopefully what we're seeing is you're going to see more contagious but less dangerous. And that could be a good thing overall, because eventually it'll mutate itself into something like a common cold or a flu. So the virus kind of outsmarts itself, which is good for us and bad for them. And unfortunately, you know, as of December, we don't really know. We didn't know how severe Omicron was, because the initial cases have been pretty mild. But these cases were also in, like, younger people and people who had previously had COVID or people that had been vaccinated. Many of the cases were isolated when they first found them, and they were in travelers. And these people tend to be healthier. So it will probably be a little while before we're going to have all the data from all the people and see who was really at risk. And it's funny, because when I read at risk for this variant, it says elderly people over 50. And I'm like, what? That's funny, because I'm over 50, but I do not consider myself elderly until I actually read it. And I'm going, okay, wow, that just sounds crazy. But it's primarily people that are over 50 with it's called comorbidities. These people have issues, and they're just not, their immune system's already compromised. So I do feel that all of us at some point, we're probably going to get some variant of this virus, and some of us are going to get it more than once. And that's important, because you really want to have strong immunity before you get the virus. And if you find yourself re-getting the virus, which I've seen some people do, you definitely want to figure out, well, what's going on to build that immune system up. So you don't want to get really sick, especially if you are elderly. And I'm talking about, you know, people that are over 70 with health conditions. They're the ones that typically will have more issues with it. And this virus is, you know, it's doing its best to hang around. And they found, it's funny, they found the virus, you know, now in deer, it's in mink, it's even been reported, Ken, in a hippopotamus. So, you know, this is kind of crazy. We know the virus can jump from humans to these animals. So I would say, you know, don't adopt any hippos or anything like that. We're just seeing that the virus is just looking for a way to kind of make itself known. So it's kind of caught hopping around to different species.
Well, Melissa, that makes me happy that I never adopted that pet rhinoceros or hippopotamus.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful I didn't do that, because obviously they're carriers.
Well, you know, if you go down, and let's say you go down to one of those lion country safaris, I don't even know if they still have that, and a giant hippopotamus comes up and sneezes on you, you definitely, you know, it's got to move on. Like, anyway.
There you go. There's a new market. Hippopotamus masks.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll let
just
you continue, my
pins.
Bad.
You just use the pins on a hippopotamus. Sorry. Anyway, I got to move on. I'll see. So anyway, the symptoms that you get from this new strain of virus is very similar to the common cold virus, because it presents with your typical common cold symptoms, like you get a runny nose, you can get headache, fatigue, you can get sore throat, obviously sneezing, and then a fever. And then they've also found that the loss of smell or taste is not as common. So it really makes it difficult for you to know whether it's a simple upper respiratory viral infection or if it's Omicron. So you can obviously test to find out but the spread will continue because this occurs even before people start to feel unwell, they can transmit it. So it's really hard. You definitely want to, you know, test yourself. And if you do have symptoms, any symptoms, obviously stay at home, away from people. But it's really hard because you'll be, if you're out and about and you don't have any symptoms, but you could still be transmissible, it's kind of an iffy thing. Just like the cold, you know, that's just how these things work. So it's really, I think it's the most important thing you can do is just really be in tune with how your body actually feels. And I wanted to say that we are getting some tests now for free. There's a link that people can go on, and I think they're sending out like 4 test kits to each home. So you can look at that online if people don't have their test kits, if they want to have them, just to be safe, they could, you know, go ahead and order them. But back to really feeling in tune with your body, you got to really listen to your body. And when your body kind of knows when it's starting to feel bad, and you have to, it's very subtle. And this is the time you want to attack a virus. So I know in my practice, I've been around with many who have had this virus because they'll call me several days later and they'll tell me that they were diagnosed with COVID. And then I'll be like, okay, so I was around them prior to that. And if I do start to feel myself kind of getting a little bit on the, you can just tell that little feeling you get, I definitely do what I tell people to do, because I had COVID this time last year and it was not good. I think I don't know what variant I had. I think it was the original one, but it was not good for me. And I'm going to spare all the details, but I do know that you got to really pay close attention to your energy levels, because that's the first thing you're going to note. That's the first indicator that your body is about to fight something off. So a simple thing to keep on hand, and it's going to turn you guys into a salad, raw red onion, and you want to keep Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and you want to keep a garlic clove. So this doesn't replace the care of your medical provider, but what it does, it will help your body defend itself when you first start feeling the symptoms of getting sick. So when you feel that first little tickle in the back of your throat, you can start to chew on the red onion, and you'll allow the juice to go down the back of the throat on the side, which is tingling. And onions have a component called quercetin, which is a very potent anti-inflammatory and antiviral substance. So especially red onions. So you want to do that a couple of times, and it'll actually neutralize the sore throat. If you have a sore throat before you use that, you'll notice that your sore throat actually starts to feel better after you do that. And then you want to start gargling, and with diluted apple cider vinegar, you want to dilute it with water, obviously, because it can burn you. But you want to do that 3 to 4 times a day and just gargle and then spit it out. And then make something called garlic tea. And to do this, you just boil some water. You remove it. You add 3 or 4 of the minced garlic cloves, not in the boiling water, but once you take the boiling water out, put it in a cup, and then put a tablespoon of raw honey with the garlic, let it sit there and steep, and it has a component called allicin, and allicin is a natural antibiotic. Start drinking that as well. So you're kind of handling it from a natural perspective by focusing on, is it viral? You're using quercetin. Is it bacterial? You're using allicin. And these are just nice little things that you can use and that you can keep on hand right at the beginning. And you can also take an onion and actually cut it up into pieces and put it on a cheesecloth and put it on your chest, and that does help with coughing as well. So these are old things that really are in our cupboard that we can use, that we can all have on hand in case we run into where we start to feel, you know, bad right at the beginning. And the goal, of course, is just to start attacking the virus before it takes hold and moves deeper into your system. So ultimately, obviously, we want to protect those who are at severe risk. And eventually, what's going to happen, you keep hearing this term, which we keep waiting on, our herd immunity, we're going to turn this coronavirus into an illness very similar to the other 4 common cold coronaviruses, because it is a coronavirus. And it has, you know, I was reading a magazine that I have a collection of National Geographic magazines, and they're still in plastic, and I wonder if they're worth anything. But I was reading 2008, I just picked it up, and it was talking about H1N1 and how they wanted to, everyone needs to wear a mask and everyone needs to social distance. And I'm like, that's back in 2008? This is crazy. So we've been dealing with stuff like this ongoing, and our bodies are just so innately smart, and they know how to overcome these things. It just takes a little time. And until then, though, we have to be, you know, cautious, and we want to take care of ourselves, and we want to take care of other people. So there are four major factors that can affect your immune system. And basically, these factors kind of base everything on these, so that when you're looking at yourself, you can figure out, okay, which factor should I focus on the most? So the first one is the host factor, and this is based on your age. So whether it's whether you've got any current illnesses, age doesn't really contribute to how well your body can handle a virus, I don't think, because it's not really about the number of years, it's about the quality of life. So there's many 75-year-olds who are healthier than those half their age or even younger. So I don't really go into the number when it comes to age, but I do go into the fact that, in general, elderly people, they're going to, even when they get a flu shot, they give them a larger dose of the flu shot because the antibody response and cell-mediated response goes down as we age. So it can be a little bit more difficult for elderly to fight off infections. That's why you see an overrun of nursing homes and things like that. But that being said, I don't like to just say, oh, you're a certain age and this is, you know, this is what's going to happen to you, because I believe our bodies, how we take care of them, is going to determine that. And the good news is that when your body does overcome this virus, unlike antibodies, which go away, you're going to develop something called memory B cells, and these do not decrease. So this is the cool part. I know that there's this whole controversy out there about getting the vaccine versus not getting the vaccine. And that's a personal decision every person needs to make on their own. But they also have studies out there also showing that when someone has had the virus, that they also do develop these memory cells, which help fight it off in the future. So I just like to know that the innate immune system that God gave us is also very strong as well. So I think by the time we get through with people, if they are getting vaccinated and if they are catching it, eventually we're going to get into that herd immunity. And I think it's going to be this year. I'm just, don't quote me on that, but hopefully we will get there. Back to this, though, we don't have control over the number of years we have, but we do have control over what keeps us healthy during our golden years. So the things we want to look at as we're aging, or even when you're younger, they're really important to set you up for proper aging later on, is hydration, relaxation, movement, and nutrition. And there's a really good book on Amazon called The Blue Zone, and it's basically a collaboration of different dietary habits from people around the world who live to be over 100, but they're still very healthy and cognitive. So I recommend anyone who wants to maintain quality of life as well as quantity of years, you know, you can grab that book and just start incorporating eating those types of foods into your life. It's a simple way of changing your diet. And also incorporating X2O into your daily routine to balance your pH and hydrate. That's one of the things they found, even with COVID, is dehydration is a factor. So, I mean, if you've got X2O there, you definitely want to share it and use it, because you're going to help people get hydrated very quickly. They're also, their pH is going to change. If their pH changes, they may not be as susceptible to the virus. And in my office, I check everyone's pH through a UA strip every week when they come in. So I put them on X2O, and I watch it go from 5.0 to 6.0 to 6.5 as they're using it. So I can actually track it and see how well the body's responding. I can also watch the hydration levels and watch the specific gravity and see it just start to change as they're using X2O. So it's just so neat to see a product that sometimes you don't feel when you're drinking it, like, wow, what's the big deal? But to see it in a more of a lab setting where you're actually looking at someone's UA, you can actually see the body change, which is so amazing. And another factor that we're looking at with the virus is secondary illnesses. This brings additional stress on your body. So we know that things such as diabetes, lung disease, GI issues, kidney disease, high blood pressure, vascular disease like heart attacks and strokes, these are all going to affect the immune system. And even with COVID, you know, even pregnancy can be a risk factor. So we all get sick from time to time. And when you look at people that get sick, you look at the average adult, usually will have around 3 infections per year. And this is typically like the common cold, which, you know, we can get rid of as well if we stay kind of not contaminate other people. But if no other illness or stressor is present, then our bodies usually just recover from this type of illness. because our bodies will ramp up the immune system. But if you're immune compromised and you have these other cofactors like diabetes and the ones that I mentioned, it's going to be a little harder because your immune system can get overwhelmed. And even though COVID has a 99.7% survival rate, I think, you will frequently see people in the hospital with viral infections, especially in the upper respiratory tract. So this can actually mutate into a bacterial infection in the lungs. So if you're diagnosed with something like, any type of the issues that I just mentioned, you've just got to be a lot more careful because you go into the hospital, it doesn't matter if it's COVID, it doesn't matter if it's the flu, it's going to affect the body more adversely just because you're dealing with that other issue, that comorbidity. So you got to really focus on that. And we really want to know, too, that, you know, when you're looking at the good news about Omicron is they're seeing, as of right now, it's not affecting, I don't think, the lungs as much as Delta did. But we know for a long time that the virus, specifically, no matter what variant it is, it's airborne. So it's not just in the respiratory droplets. It can actually hang out in the air up to about an hour. That's why ventilation and frequent recirculation of the air is really important. So one of the things I like to tell people to do is just grab, you can get them on Amazon, but like a HEPA filter, these are really important. So I like to tell people, even in your home or your workplace, wherever you're actually breathing a lot of air, it's a good way to keep your air clean. And I also, people don't even mention this, I recommend not using any synthetic air fresheners, especially in a closed environment, or heavy-duty cleaning supplies, which is ironic because this is what is selling off the shelves right now to prevent contamination. But Zuma, and I'll let you elaborate on this a little bit, Ken, has, you know, our product that's not going to hurt you. But when you have a lot of these heavy-duty chemicals and you're breathing in all these things that you're plugging in the wall, it's not good. And in fact, in August of 2006, they actually did a study on how the chemicals in many air fresheners can affect the lungs. So the research showed that a chemical compound found in all these air fresheners and toilet bowl cleaners, mothballs, deodorizing products, all of these things can have harmful effects on the lungs because they contain VOX, V-O-C-S, which are volatile organic compounds. And these are a diverse set of compounds, and they emit as gases from thousands of commonly used products. And they're even obviously in tobacco smoke, pesticides, paints, cleaning products, but they're also in automotive exhaust. So if you're using chemicals to clean, you might as well park your car in your bathroom and just turn it on because it's the same thing. You have to really think about all the chemicals that you're surrounding yourself with and then do some house cleaning and just, you know, make things not as toxic so that your body can have a stronger immune system. And I know that sounds a little bit extreme, but we really do have to keep our body free from external toxins so that our immune system will have the opportunity to fight viruses instead of these things called VOX because they affect the lungs. So it's just another way of taking an extra stress off the body so that your body has a better way of fighting off a virus. And the next thing we want to look at is behavioral factors. There's a lot of these which can be modified, and we know smoking because we always hear, you know, smoking causes everything, which we know. And we think about heart attacks, lung disease, cancer. And so it's just important, you know, obviously if someone's smoking, not to smoke. And I've also heard everyone say, don't drink too much because alcohol also will suppress the immune system. But no one says how much you should drink. They said just don't drink too much. So people are like, well, you know, by the time they're intoxicated, they don't know how much they should have drank in the first place. So it's better to kind of have an idea of what is good to drink and what is not good to drink. So according to medical literature, it should be no more than 10 units a week for males and 7 for females. So a unit of alcohol is basically a bottle of beer, one shot of like whiskey or 1 ounce of, and 75 milliliters of wine. Now, this is something that's put out there that you're supposed to spread out over a 7-day period, but no one does that. People, you hear all these country songs. It's like, I can't wait till Friday night at 5:00. I'm going to go out and drink all of those things I just mentioned all at once, which is not what you want to do, because alcohol definitely can be abused. And if you don't feel the need to drink at all, then you don't have to. I told a patient the other day, I said, you know, if you like the taste of wine, you could get something called an antioxidant drink that has all of the really deep, dark juices, and you could drink that in replace if you want, and you're still going to get resveratrol, which is the component that's healthy in wine, without the sulfites. So you can always make these changes if you really don't want to drink alcohol. And, you know, alcohol has effects, both short-term and long-term, on every single organ of the body. So from another perspective, alcohol is something that there is no safe limit. In fact, the risk of damaging your health increases with drink. So you have to really just use wisdom in that area, and not definitely use it in moderation. And another, obviously, the way you know about this at Zuma is a excess weight. You know, if weight is an issue, we have to deal with that, because weight gain with COVID, oh my gosh, it has just been crazy, not just in a children and adults. It's been both adults and children with weight gain. And in my practice, at the Olive Leaf, I actually provide something called in-body testing, which checks the body's composition. So what I'm doing is I'm checking their BMI, and this is kind of a ratio of weight to height, and it's a guide to see whether somebody is underweight or normal weight or if they're obese. And many studies in adults show that the increase in BMI correlates with a reduced immune response. So the kind of weight gain is concerning for this virus. My cousin actually had COVID, and she, you know, I didn't really realize she had it until it got to a point where she, by the time I gave her stuff to take, it was a little too late. She didn't have it on hand. So she ended up going into the hospital several times, and she said, you know, she's this very, very obese person. And that just really contributed to her not feeling well. And she ended up with, it was pretty scary for a little while. We were having to keep her on a prayer chain, and she ended up having a monoclonal antibody, which worked really well and knocked it out in a couple of days. But it was like at the very beginning of the virus, I had spoke to her, and she was taking all these over-the-counter medications to try to, you know, suppress the symptoms, and Tylenol all the time. And what happens when you do that is just suppressing the immune response as well. So it got deeper and deeper and deeper. So it's better to try to build your immune system up at the very beginning instead of suppress it, unless you really have to. I mean, I'm not saying don't use anything, but I'm saying just don't overdo it, because then your body has to even fight harder, because it's trying to sometimes run a little fever so that it can get rid of something, not necessarily make you feel bad. So there's a whole purpose behind running a low-grade fever. But anyway, besides that, she's fine now, and thank God she's good. But obesity is a big component that plays a big role with this disease. And not just this disease, but everything else under the sun. So we don't want to carry around toxic weight. And there was a recent study looking at high blood pressure in the population since COVID-19. And actually, the people's blood pressure in general has gone up, and people's health overall has gone down with this pandemic, not because of COVID, but just because of the lockdowns that we have across the U.S. You think this would be a great time for people to take control of their health by eating at home, but the opposite has happened. So drive-through ordering surged over the last year, and as the coronavirus pandemic shuttered, like it kind of shut down the indoor dining and made consumers, you know, scared of going into restaurants. And so industry experts believe that now the drive-through ordering, even in big restaurants, it's going to stay. It's not going to go away. So even after the virus goes away, we're still going to have even more drive-throughs available for people. And fast food chains are ramping up their investments to make their drive-through lanes more efficient. So you'll see, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you're driving down the road, you'll see like all these fast food places, they're redoing their drive-throughs. And that's why, because they're trying to make it where, because they know that's just the wave of the future. People are going to be really going through those fast food restaurants. And unfortunately, we're losing our mom-and-pop restaurants. So it's good to support these small restaurants, because we want to help them thrive. they really focus on trying to get wholesome food to you. And a lot of times the chain restaurants are not doing so. So it's really nice to just take the opportunity to really, you know, try to find those little places and support them. And also take the opportunity to make healthy food at home and add in programs such as Metabolize to help your, you know, maintain your healthy weight and keep your immune system. And it's just, those are just simple things that we can do that we really could take advantage of. And, you know, you can make a choice when you're locked down and certain states are really locked down. They have to really make a choice of how they're going to eat while they're in that place. I'm really hoping that this is going to be the year of the non-lockdown, that everything's going to just come back. And as spring comes, we're going to have a new beginning and everything it's just going to dissipate and go away. That's what I'm hoping in this situation. But for right now, you know, we got to do what we have to do. And the other thing we want to look at is sleep. And I know I've spoke on sleep before. You know, at least get 7 to 8 hours of high quality sleep. What that does when you're sleeping, it enables your immune defense and to actually fight. If you're not sleeping, your immune system is not going to work. So you really want to pay attention to sleep disorders like sleep apnea, and that's where the airway gets closed off during sleep. If you have insomnia, you really want to deal with these things and try to get them handled, because this is when your body is functioning, your stress, everything gets regulated during sleep. And there's also an increased production of cytokines associated with inflammation when you sleep. And it's really felt that that response helps your body recover. That's why you see people. My aunt had COVID as well last year, and she was 77, and she basically slept for 2 weeks. I just woke her up to give her, like, vitamin D, zinc, and a Z-Pack, and she made it through there. And she's COPD, congestive heart failure, complete high risk, but did okay because she was resting, and I was able to get her some things that really helped. Get her body in a good place. And then also, you know, when you're looking out, if you're having difficulty sleeping, it's good to figure out why and to make it a priority. And sometimes it just takes sleep hygiene, and these are steps that you can take, you know, like obviously getting away from your phone, your computers, and your TV. And then some people say, well, I can't sleep unless my TV's on. It's not the TV that's on. It's the noise. They like the background noise. So you can actually get calming sounds. You can pick up one of those little calming, I think they're air sound machines. I can't remember where they are, but there's a couple of stores out there, or on Amazon you can get them. Or even if you have an Alexa and you don't worry about her, like, recording you, you can ask her to actually say, play airplane noise or play sounds like rain, and she'll play those noises so that you can turn off your TV and shut down any blue light so that you'll produce melatonin. The problem when you have any artificial light on, it's going to affect your melatonin. You won't sleep as well. So you just have to get rid of the blue light that then come up with a sound. And obviously, last but not least, is exercise. We know that's important for immunity. It also helps for depression. Even it's one of the best non-pharmacological treatments for depression. So we're seeing more depression, too, in this pandemic. And this is why in my office I provide neurotransmitter testing. So I check for serotonin and dopamine and cortisol levels. And to help increase dopamine, you want to plan on exercising about 3 to 5 hours of moderate intense workouts. If you have one of those activity trackers, aim for about 10,000 steps a day. And I try to encourage my elderly patients in particular to just do some upper body or core exercises and not simply just walking. You know, use something that's going to help get that muscle strength built up. And you can do anything, you know, there's just so many things out there that you can use. Even picking up cans, it doesn't matter. Just do something to get your body and keep it moving. And then also, you know, nutrition is the last thing. I skipped that, but nutrition is so important, and we know that. We've got to do vitamin D. We've got to basically look at food as medicine, and the quality of nutrients in your food do help turn on good genes and turn off bad genes. So macronutrients like vitamin D, they play such an important role in your immune system. It's just something that we've seen throughout the COVID pandemic. So it's important that people have normal vitamin D levels. If you don't know your vitamin D level, you can get it checked. And just make sure that if it's over 30, that's not good. I mean, that's their cutoff that, where they'll say you're okay. You want to get that vitamin D level up around 60 to 80, really, to have it working well. And your doctor can order that test for you. And, you know, in the summer we get enough vitamin D, but in the winter we just don't get it. And it's our sunshine vitamin, so we really do need it. There's been certain studies that show certain supplements really support your body's immune system. Like I said, vitamin D. Another one is zinc. Quercetin. Quercetin actually acts like hydroxychloroquine from the standpoint of helping zinc get into the cell. And zinc inhibits replication of the virus. That's just with vitamin D. So these are nice little combinations of things you can put together. You can also use NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine. That's a precursor to something called glutathione, which glutathione is a master antioxidant that moves out free radicals from the body, and vitamin C. And Zuma also has really great immune system support products like Probiotic and Silvermax, obviously X2O. So it's really, really important to have everything. This is the main thing out of this whole thing. Have everything on hand. Don't wait until you start to feel sick and then go, oh, I need to order this. I need to go grab that. You don't have time, because COVID, when you get it, it's the weirdest type of virus I've ever seen. It actually does hit you, and then all of a sudden you feel okay for a moment, and then you don't feel okay, and then you feel okay. So it keeps coming back and targeting things. So you want to have everything on hand so that you can just fight it right at the beginning. And if you can fight it and get a head start, it's easier for your body to fight it off. And again, I'm just going to emphasize this. If you're properly hydrated and your pH is normalized, your body's going to have an easier time maintaining health. In fact, chronic acidity, if you're acidic all the time, it will actually damage the cells and the immune system through time. So it's really, really important to keep yourself with X2O. I think that's just the biggest thing, along with our Silver Max products, but also adding in the other ones that I had mentioned before. And I guess that's it. I think the foundation of health is based upon nutrition. I think that we need to eat very healthy. I think we need to be hydrated. I think we need to just know that our body is also made in the image of God, and that He's placed everything here for our healing, that He's our healer. That, I mean, I always say this, He died for our sins, but He also says He died for our infirmities. Infirmities are sicknesses. So I've never had fear of this virus or any variant, because I know where my help comes from. And I just know that if anyone gets sick, I always tell them, you know what, read Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. He who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's the goal. I mean, we want to be just healthy. We're made in His image. This virus is, it's just horrible, and it's going to go away. I know that. I just have in my spirit that this is something that we're hopefully at the end of it at this point. And we just want to be in a place where we have resources, we have knowledge, and we have the power of the Lord, and we can get through this stuff. So anyway, I am done. I had to squeeze a lot of that in. And I know it's a little longer than usual, but anyway, Ken, I'll let you take over from here.
I appreciate it, Melissa. No, you're right. A ton of great information shared tonight. And for those of you listening in, hopefully one of the take-home messages you're getting from Dr. Melissa is that, you know, if you're a regular user of Zuma's products, and I would assume if you're on this call, chances are you are, there's very few products in Zuma's line that don't in some way support and contribute to improving immune system function. So many of the things that Dr. Melissa was talking about tonight, you can find very conveniently and very easy through your Zuma product line, whether it's, you know, getting your weight under control, metabolize, or sleeping better with things like the Metabolize PM or the X2O PM, or, you know, getting proper hydration, of course, and alkalinity in the body with X2O or Silvermax. You know, you can use that for internal use, of course, for boosting immune system strength, but you can also use it, and a lot of people have discovered this recently, you can mist it up in your nasal passages where those viruses and those bad guys like to hide. You can actually mist it up into the nasal cavity and nasal passages to help kill off some of the things that might be hanging around there and maybe getting into your bronchial area. I mean, there's just so many things. And if you're looking for, you know, anything that, to, you know, surface-wise to protect yourself there, you've got Zoom's InstaProtex, which is, of course, that non-toxic viral defender where you can kill viruses and bacteria and funguses for up to 14 days on a surface with InstaProtex. And it kind of ties into what Melissa's saying about, you know, not giving your house a bunch of additional challenges by adding a bunch of chemicals and other issues that, you know, lead to toxicity in our bodies, and that all depresses our immune system. So, you know, suffice it to say that, you know, if you're using several of Zuma's products, or if you're like me using a good number of them on a regular daily, weekly basis, you're doing a tremendous amount of good for your health just by doing that and supporting your immune system. And then you start to take into account some of the other things that Melissa's talking about in terms of diet, in terms of, you know, lifestyle, in terms of exercise, and all the things that we all know intuitively we should be doing. But you add that up and you become incredibly resilient. Your immune system becomes unbelievably strong. And those are the people that often, when they encounter these viral threats, if they get caught with it, it's a very mild, very minimal issue for them. It's unfortunately those people who have very compromised immune systems are the ones that end up with real problems from this. So whatever you can do, Dr. Melissa has given a ton of great information tonight. Take as much of that as you can, run with it, and more importantly, share that with the people you care about, because obviously we're not out of the woods yet with this pandemic, and we want to see people be able to navigate this and stay healthy and be able to talk about, you know, this on the other side when this is finally no longer an issue. So Dr. Melissa, as always, I certainly appreciate your time. I appreciate all the wisdom and knowledge you share. So thank you for being here with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I just want to just really reiterate that having things on hand, just being prepared, is so important, because those, I just help so many people get through this, and it's all about being prepared at the beginning and having resources and knowing your resources. I think that's the biggest thing, because there's a lot of things out there people can do, and they need to look a little deeper to see what's actually available to them, so they just don't go to the hospital and just get sent home and there's nothing they can do until they go back to the hospital. So there's a lot of other resources out there that they can look at.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Melissa, again, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. And folks, thank you for being in this call live tonight. Remember, this is a recorded call. I encourage you to re-listen if you want to kind of catch back up on some of the things that Melissa shared with you tonight. And more importantly, if you can, share it with somebody you care about. There's a lot of great information shared here tonight. So thanks for listening in. Remember, first and third Thursday of every single month, we do these calls. So I invite you to come back that first Thursday in February, and we'll be having more great information to share with you then. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.